Morning, this is Reverend Leslie here, and what a beautiful day it is. I'm recording this on Friday morning, looking out across our garden. Birds are singing, sun is shining, and it's a wonderful day. So today we are going to reflect and think about one of the readings that is taken from the book of Acts. And I'm going to read to you from Acts 9, starting to read at verse 36. And this is all about a very special lady, but also about the man who brought her back to life. So in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and she died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda, a name of a place, is very near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to a room. And all the widows stood around him, and they were crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa. Many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are now three Sundays distant. Can you believe it? From Easter celebrations. I think all of my chocolate eggs have now disappeared. There might be one or two that I'm just hiding somewhere special. And actually, in the reading of the book of Acts that we're going to look at now, we are continuing to explore the effects of the resurrection and what it had on those earliest of believers after Jesus died and was resurrected. Earlier, we witnessed in the book of Acts the familiar conversion of Saul, who was a killer of Christians, and how God struck him blind until he realized the error of his ways. And then he named him Paul. And Paul, of course, became the chief among Christians. Luke, who wrote Acts, now turns us towards the Apostle Peter. And once again, Peter is an amazing guy and does amazing work with the people on the coast of the Mediterranean. Before this story that we've got today, it talks about how Peter heals a man paralyzed for 8 years at least and was confined by his disability to a cot. Do excuse the fact that I've got a helicopter just going straight over our bungalow as I'm reading this to you. Peter takes a look at the man who's in the cot with the disability, and he says to him, he names him, and he says, "Aeneas, Jesus the Messiah is healing you. Get up and make your bed." And the result of the miracle is that everyone living in those communities in that area saw what Peter had done, and of course, Aeneas did get up and he did make his bed, and they turned to the Lord. They became Christians. Then in today's reading, we hear about the miraculous power of God acting in an even more astonishing way. This is where he actually makes someone who was dead come back alive. And we always think that that is something that is only Jesus is possible, can possibly do that. And it says, "Now in Joppa, which is a place close to Lydda, there was a woman disciple whose name was Tabitha." A woman disciple? Oh my goodness. So of course, if we translate that word, Tabitha, into Dorcas, it is it's quite an amazing word, because it actually means gazelle. So imagine what this woman was like. She had been leaping about all over the place, doing amazing things, I suspect. And also be aware that they're using the word disciple. They don't do that anywhere else in the entire of the New Testament when they're talking about a woman. Luke, who writes the book of Acts, implies that Dorcas is fully equivalent to any male disciples who are named in the masculine form of this noun. And Luke goes on to say precisely why Dorcas is called a disciple. He says, she was generous in her good works and in her giving of alms. Precisely the same attribute will be designated to a chap called Cornelius, who was the most famous Gentile convert in chapter 10 of Acts. And you'll hear that if you continue reading through the book. But tragedy strikes the disciple Dorcas. She grows sick and she died. The widows, now who are these widows? They're either part of a group of followers who think that Dorcas is rather wonderful. And they might also have been the recipient of all these good works and alms that she gave out. But they are, we are told, they are in great sorrow. This bit, next bit, is just wonderful. They wash the woman, they wash her, their leader, and they place her in an upper room. Isn't that an amazing thing that they actually care for her in death? That they do something that's deeply touching and personal. And then we are told that the disciples, who have apparently witnessed the death of Dorcas upon hearing that Peter was nearby in Lydia, have urged him to come to them without delay. They must have known that he was up to something and more was possible through Peter. And of course, immediately Peter comes to Joppa and is led to the upper room where Dorcas' body has been displayed just before her burial. You see, it was customary at that time, and it still is in very hot countries. You need to bury a body very quickly. In a very touching scene, the widows, weeping all the while, showed Peter the tunics and cloaks that Dorcas made when she was with them. That, again, is very touching. They're telling her story. They're showing him the amazing things that she did. Didn't know that, I mean, maybe she was this amazing seamstress, that she made these wonderful things, and they are sharing that with Peter. What a beautiful action. Something performed, maybe it says in silence. The widows urge Peter to do something about the tragedy, and they want their friend and mentor back. But she's dead. Have they heard the power of resurrection that Peter seems to possess? The text is very quiet on that score, but Luke is intent on demonstrating that Peter is somehow representative of that power. Peter sends the entire group outside of the room, and then it says he falls upon his knees and he prays. And his prayers, well, they're answered. Her life is restored. He gave her his hand and he helps her up. And her friends and the followers are invited back into the room. Imagine what that must have been like. And it seems that the word is spreading. Peter? Who is Peter? What is going on? Something amazing is going on. Now, a friend of mine that I used to be at college with, a chap called John Swales, he ended up, after he left college, same time as me, 2010, I think it was, ended up going up to Leeds. And he started a church up there in the city that was very specifically for addicts. So all of the congregation, and there are many in his congregation, have some form of addiction, and he works alongside them and does amazing things. Now, the other thing that John is very good at is writing. He's a great orator, but he's also a great poet. And for this year, for Easter, for Resurrection, he wrote the most wonderful poem about Peter. And I'm going to read it to you now. And I really hope that the words of this poem land very lightly with you and make you realise just how significant we all are. They say your past doesn't define you, or maybe, but it never fully lets go either, does it? The stink of fish, the rope burnt hands, that's where I started. Me, my brother, oh, and the nets, of course, working class lads just trying to make it through. And then he turned up, not with a sermon, just with a presence. Follow me, he said, and I did. God help me, I did. I followed Jesus for 3 years. My life back then had meaning. It had dignity. It had purpose. I was on a mission. He saw more in me than I saw in myself. My name is Peter, but he called me the Rock. Said he'd build his church on me. Me! A fisherman with a temper and a tendency to speak before I really thought things through. But I believed in him. I wanted to be that rock, and I tried. And we saw things. I watched a dead girl rise, watched a storm obey his voice, bread multiplying in my hands, demons fleeing, opened of eyes, hearts burning. I saw the kingdom crack into this broken world. And for a moment, I thought I understood it. But the weight of it all, the joy, the mission, the crowds, the whispers of kingdom revolution. I said I'd never leave him, swore it. Said I'd die for him. But when it counted, I crumbled. 3 times they asked, and 3 times I lied. I said I didn't even know him. And then the rooster, the crow, cock crow, I can still hear it now, like a nail in my soul. Rock? No, just rubble. A sandcastle when the tide comes in. He died, but then he rose again. You see, death could not hold him. But I had let him down. So I went back. I went back to the only thing that I understood. Fishing. Trying to forget failure. Trying to outrun the shame. Then came the morning, grey light, empty nets, and a voice from the shore. Cast your nets on the other side. And we did. And I knew it was him. The fire crackling, bread warming. The last time I stood by a fire, I betrayed my Lord. Yet here he is. He meets me in a shared meal. He didn't say, oh, I told you so. He didn't ask why I'd run. Just this. Do you love me? 3 times, cutting through the guilt, breaking something in me, healing something too. Feed my sheep, he said. He still called me Rock, not because I was strong, but because he is. He knew I'd fall, and still he called me. Still he trusted me. Still he fed me. The church was never meant to be built on perfection, just on grace, on people who fail and are still called. People like me, people like you. So now I follow again, not because I'm worthy, but because he met me on the beach. And in my failure, he gave me back my name. Amen. Blessed are you, mighty God, creator of light and darkness. To you be praise and glory forever. By the resurrection of your Son to eternal life, you destroyed the darkness and fear of death. Radiant life is ours through him who loves you, Jesus our Lord and friend. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God, for ever and ever. Amen. We give you thanks that you have called us to witness to your resurrection and to your presence. Help us, Lord Jesus, to turn away from our sins and to follow you. May your church reveal your glory in the world. May we, as Christians, do likewise. We remember today all who are persecuted for their faith, and all who are struggling to make your name known in difficult areas. We pray for all who are full of doubt and fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you today those who are fearful and anxious. We think about those whose lives are in danger through violence of war. We remember all who are locked away in prison or maybe in painful memories. All who are striving for new freedom and for hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for your presence in our homes and that you, when we call upon you, are always with us. May we know you as a friend and as a helper. Bless our families and our loved ones, and may they know your abiding presence. Be known among our friends and our companions, and we remember all who live alone and are worried about their lives or their futures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks, Lord, for the healing power of faith, and we ask for you to bless and guide all who heal. We remember our own doctors and the surgeries and the nurses that care for us. We ask that all who are sick and weary may know you as their companion and helper. We pray to you for all who are hard-pressed and struggle at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, we hold before you our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, and we give thanks for the new Pope, Louis, and we pray that he is of good purpose in this world. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you have triumphed over darkness and death, opened for us the way to eternal life, and we remember in your presence friends and loved ones who are departed from us. May they rejoice in the fullness of life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as we come to the end of our audio service for this week, I send you with great love and joy for the future and for this coming week. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you. And may you know his love this day. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen.